Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Project U Radio. This is part of the Literary Underground. I'm Lynn Alexander. I'm actually hoping for Lindsay Thomas to be calling in soon. She's actually co-hosting with me tonight, and I'm pretty excited about that. I think it's cool when we get lots of different people on here. Let's see. Tonight we are actually doing our first open mic. We haven't attempted that on the Project U Radio show before. We've done it on some of the other shows. We did it with Full of Crow. I think Red Fez has done open mics. But over here we haven't done it yet. So a couple of people asked about it, and we thought we'd give it a try. The way that it usually works, we don't know who callers are. We just see their area code show up in the switchboard. So usually the easiest way to do it is to just kind of, call out your area code and say, hey, you're on, I hope that works out okay. We don't really have any, we didn't come up with rules or restrictions or a timeline and say, hey, you have to stick to 3 minutes or 5 minutes. We're just going to sort of see how it goes. The curious thing about this particular show is that some people, there was a lot of questions about what spectral ganglia actually is, some curiosity about it. Ganglia being part of the neuron, spectral meaning spectrum colors. Some people asked about spectral meaning ghosts, and I don't know, maybe I like that better. Either way, it's kind of a supernatural idea, psychedelic idea, and who knows what lives in these things. They have behaviors that we really don't understand, and so I say bring them on. It doesn't really have to make sense, the stuff we do. It's just out there. It's about the DNA, the chemicals, the desire to connect in different ways with other people. I don't want to get all trippy on you guys, but, it's sort of about that. I hope that answers it. It probably doesn't. The next open mic that we're planning to do, I believe, is March 2nd, which would be the first show in March. And next week, February 11th, is actually going back to the discussion format that we usually do. Usually we sit around and we bullshit about topics, and the topic for next week is actually experimental poetry, and we're going to have J.D. Nelson. We asked him to call in and talk a little bit about that. So if you have thoughts about what it is, what it isn't, you feel like calling in and saying something about it, then that's cool. I guess when I see Lindsay come on, I will make my best effort to figure out her area code, because I'm pretty sure I know what it is, but I could be wrong on that too. So I'm just gonna get going. I know we have a couple of people that have been waiting a while. And what I'm gonna do is sort of go in the order of who's been waiting around, and I'm going to pick up 707 and put you live. And, like I said, we're pretty open. We're just going to kind of have it be free flowing and do your thing. So good evening.
Grace and peace, Lynn Alexander.
Oh, hi. I'm glad to hear from you.
From Berkeley.
Great to hear from you. I haven't heard from you in a while. It's been a while since we've done one of these open mics, and I always looked forward to hearing from you. I hope you have something to read tonight.
I do, but I want feedback to make sure that my ganglia is showing.
Well, I'm sure it is. I think it already is. If I know you, and I met you in person, so I can tell you that it does. That it comes through loud and clear. So good to hear from you.
Well, this poem I'm going to do is called Mayakovsky. Mayakovsky. The revolution televises without either transmission towers or broadcast receivers. It sends direct to the brains through the limbs and branches of poetry. The intellect translates the images instantly through the ether of the mind, and the lowliest of all synapses sings words of a chemical and electrical key. The revolution televises chocolate, uninterrupted, to each and every individual in their each and every taste. The revolution televises the smell of the pre-fertilizer of those who lie, cheat, steal, and kill on behalf of the bulges in the fronts of war and their very, very expensive pants. And the after smell, which replaces the stench, shall be quince and pineapple. The revolution televises the feel of the touch necessary, and those so touched shall become the words to the anthem of all suppleness. Mayakovsky, this music dills the scales off of the plate of imprisoned fish. Mayakovsky, this revolution thrills. In text.
Oh, I love when you call in. You just have just one of those really distinct, wonderful reading voices. You really do. I'm just so glad when you call in. Thank you. It's great hearing from you. Did you want to do another one, or it's up to you.
I don't know. How packed are you?
We do have people, we do have people on, and I know people are, are being patient with us as we, through it, you could call back too.
Let's get somebody else up on Michael. Okay?
Oh, but thank you
thank you very much
for calling in. Thank you.
You are welcome.
That was Donald Hagelberg out from Berkeley, California. I had the privilege, I'll say privilege, to meet him when I was out there. And just a wonderful guy, real community guy, So that was great that he called in. I have a little bit of confusion because I'm looking for Frankie and Lindsay, and I see a couple of different area code numbers, and I'm not seeing theirs. So maybe in the chat you can just sort of let me know you're here. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick up 805 and see how that goes.
Hi,
how are you?
I'm good, Lynn. How are you?
How are you? Nice to hear from you.
That's awesome that you guys are doing this. I don't know if, that guy's last poem was really awesome.
He's cool.
I have a poem, though, called Ori the Djinn Origin. Should I read it?
Sure.
All right, here it goes. Ori the Djinn Origin. Awake to bake in lakes of fire, torn through blood and hired were the words of her desire. I mirrored the theories burning higher to the mountain's peak expired. Then I learned to lean upon the wind so as to find the sins of a sordid burning gin. I dance again, a friend of the dark, a friend of the light. I live in forests and offer good advice to all who buy their moments in my immortality. Hovering mutiny by fairies, speaking through ancient beats, all give a gift to me like the swaying of seats. Beneath the moonbound breasts of night, I follow the light. Towards the end of time, I see the darkness weaving in and out like a rose, grown into the abyss, torn out demonic. I hover near the thoughts of those who look towards the horizon. These visions of fire and dreams of water, are these the things brought about by Persephone's daughters? Chaos is what you find in my words when there is no normality spilled. From cauldrons brewed near the cliffs, demons dance through the abyss to be held by a Eucharist. Like legion, I build an army, a spawn-like entity stands with earth again. Fire takes the form of a friend, and I send the dollars to their death, blood incarnated near my breath. The sun of the nexus, consensus of the senate is what we desire. Storms dance around her as if nervous to ask for a dance. I was never born to live in a trance. Woke the words on the wind, now it chains again. That's my poem.
Thank you. Can you just say who you are again, just because, you know,
My name's Justin, but I have a writing name because I have, like, hella people in my family who write, so
right.
I decided to use a writing name.
Right. No, just in case, you know, just to make sure everybody can catch it, you know. And I'm glad you called in. I'm glad to hear from you. I haven't talked to you before,
totally.
So that's cool. I mean, well, we've talked in email and, you know, online, but. Yeah.
Yeah, no, you published
cool.
13 of my poems or some crazy number of art poems and stuff. You designed that poem, that art page for me. So that was really awesome. Yeah. Yeah, no, you did a lot of my stuff. So that's really cool. Thank you for that.
And you're doing some surrealist, exquisite corpse kind of stuff online lately.
You were trying to, yeah. I've only got 2 people for the next person, so if you want to join in, that'd be cool.
Yeah, no, I've been a little pressed for time this week with working, but I will definitely try to get more involved with that. So, no, it's great to hear from you. It's great that you called in. I'm going to see if Lindsay's on. I'm not sure if Lindsay or Frankie are on. I'm a little bit confused, and I apologize for that. But I'm going to go ahead and pick up that line, and I will hang up with you, and thank you.
No problem. See you later. Thank you.
Oh, the miracle of radio. Okay, Lindsay, I hope you're on. I'm not sure. If you are, I did pick it up. I picked up your Skype line.
Is that me?
That's you. Yeah, is this Frankie?
Yeah. I'm on Skype, but it's acting real shitty, so... I don't know
I'm sorry. I apologize for the confusion. I was looking for your area code, and I was like looking down the list, and I'm like, I don't know which what we're doing here. So
she should be on area code 505, but she's working upstairs, so I don't know if she's on just yet or not.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'll go up there and check.
No, I think I see her actually. If you can just let her know that I'm gonna put 505 through right now. So hopefully
this is
her. Yeah, hopefully. I'm sorry, a little bit of technical difficulties, you know. That's the way of Blog Talk Radio. It's a little bit sketchy sometimes. And I apologize for that. And you know what, I also neglected to mention the call in number, which is 805-856-2808, and this is our open mic show. We're trying out this format, seeing how that goes. So are you going to stick around, Frankie, or you're out the door? What's going on?
Can you hear me pretty good?
Yeah, I can hear you pretty well, and I did pick up 505, so... you know, anytime you guys want to sort of chime in and, you know, and I'm going to, I guess I'll kind of move on. I mean, we do have a lot of people that have called in, so I'm going to just sort of, you know, pick up. What I'm going to do next is 626, and I have no idea where that is, so that's it's always a mystery, you know, when you when you pick it up. So I'm going to pick up 626 and good evening.
Hi, Lynn.
Hello.
This is Kevin Ridgway.
Hi, Kevin. I'm glad to hear
Hi,
from
Frankie.
You.
That's good to hear from you too.
Hey, Kevin Ridgway. How you doing, man?
Yes.
I'm good, Frankie. Yeah, I've been calling from Southern California.
Nice.
Great, great.
Okay, well, I'll read one poem.
Okay,
one,
sure.
This one's older. It's called Sober Living Blues.
Okay, that's
Came
cool.
Incognito, I fled to the suburbs, built along the tearful trails of Orange Grove ruins. To one of many ticky-tacky boxes, housing bunks, for the ravaged warriors of imaginary wars. Nothing to do but slurp burnt slop from large brewers in glum cracked rooms, bathed in fluorescent glows, flickering seizures for newly anointed refugees, listening to people belt out anthologies of their shrinking souls, and every lost year drunk in the dark daydream recollection. Yet another shit meeting adjourned, with raffle tickets for free front row seats for a visiting Elvis impersonator. The last crime that needs to be committed, as the smoke dies down over my charred ruins, is to watch another diseased male prostitute shaking his hips and making my head woozy with the sober living blues. And that's that poem.
That's cool. That's really cool, Kevin. I'm
glad
you called.
You know, Lynn, you know that Kevin is a West Coast poet, by the way. I just thought I'd rub that in there.
Right.
West Coast poet. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's me.
Yeah, I actually, we were discussing The Hostel because he had a poem where he made reference to one of the hostels out there. So yeah, I'm kind of that's kind of cool. I'm heading out there in a couple months, so maybe we can, you know, get some information together and see if there's a way we can coerce you into a road trip a little bit further north. We'll see.
Maybe.
We'll
I'm
see, you know.
We don't do that. No. We going to talk Lynn Alexander into moving out to the West Coast where all the cool people are at. You know, I'm just saying.
Oh, if I could, yeah. I would go tomorrow if I could, definitely. No, that's cool. I mean, did you want to read another one, Kevin? Or, you know, it's up to you. I don't want to press, you know.
I have a really quick one.
Okay, no, that's cool.
It's real quick.
That's
called Creepy Doll. Creepy Doll. There was no denying her affiliation with corrupted baby doll heads, factory reject Betsy Wetsies, and the plain Jane strange girls. They lined our apartment with trophies of the ongoing freak tournament that she held like putty in the palm of her ravaged mind. When we divorced, she won full custody of our junkyard children, driving away with them in baby car seats, headed for future oblivion along the highway paved with scorched plasticity. And that's that one.
That's
yeah.
Cool. Oh, that's
yeah.
Cool. Yeah. No, that's cool though. I'm glad you called in. That's great. I mean, that's why we have this, you know, because it's a good opportunity to hear people that, you know, you've read but haven't actually heard read with their own. You know, it's different when you hear it out of someone's, you know, their own voice. You know,
right.
So that's, you know, that's cool. I'm glad to hear from you.
Thanks.
I mean, what do you think of this idea? This whole call in open mic, share a bunch of stuff kind of idea, you know,
it's great for a shut-in like me.
Right.
You know,
well, a lot of us.
That's a good answer there, Kevin. I just wanted to know that I am pointing an AR-15 at the computer screen, so if you had said anything other than that, it would have been trouble.
God. Oh, well, but you know what? Technology really, I mean, you know, really makes these kinds of things possible, you know? It's you know, the days of, you know, being stuck with, you know, the neighbors that you're dealt, you know, you can get online, and there's all these different ways that we can, you know, experience, you know, the poem,
yeah.
You know? So
like pointing assault rifles at the poet while they read, you know? That's,
yeah.
That's a new way.
Yeah.
This is the way of the future.
Well, he's a little heavy-handed, Frankie, you know. I take a little more subtle approach, I think, with the with the whole thing. But, you know, oh, that's cool. Okay, I guess we will kind of move on down the queue. You know, like I said, we have some people, and we'll just sort of go. I'm kind of going in order of people that have been, you know, like waiting the longest. You know, so because I feel bad, and you know, so that's what I'm gonna do. But thanks, I'm glad to hear from you.
Thank you.
And you can you know, and anyone, you know, if we like toward the end, I mean, I don't know how long we're. I guess we're gonna go for the hour, but I mean, you know, you can always kind of like call back later, you know, whatever. You know, we're freewheeling, I think, around here. But I'm gonna
freewheeling and completely naked here, so.
Well, you know what? I guess Lindsay didn't tell you that we were supposed to wear special pajamas this evening, and one of the requirements was that you wear special pajamas. But you know, we're not holding anyone to it this time around. But I definitely
I tried to
am.
Talk her into it. She's very very adamant about not wearing it in front of hostile staff and residents. And I think that's tomfoolery right there. Hogwash is what it is.
Yeah. Well, in a lot of the hospitals that I've been in, I mean, the staff, you know, I think they pretty much wore what they wanted to wear. I mean,
exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you know,
if you want to go with, you know, if you want to go and let your twig and berries hang out while you're checking in, why can't you? I just don't understand that. It's like, if you don't like it, don't look. Yeah.
You know, I agree. I think she should definitely, you know, explore that option, definitely, I think. Now, 732, I'm going to pick up 732, and I know a bunch of people with 732 area codes, but I have no idea who this particular person is. But welcome, 732, if you feel like telling us who you are. If not, you can, you know, that's cool. We respect that, but you are on our open mic hour this evening. Welcome.
Hi, Lynn. It's Craig Scott in New Jersey.
Okay, I'm from New York, so I know a lot of people from New Jersey, but that's cool. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, doing well.
Ah, it's a poster, Craig Scott, trying to sneak
yes.
in here.
Hey, Frankie,
sneaking
how are
in
you?
Here. Sneaking in
yeah.
here. So what's good with you tonight?
I have a quick read. From one of my little books. It's called Tuesday Night. It's a Tuesday night at my favorite dive bar, and I'm smoking a $30 birthday cigar and sipping Crown and Coke while watching Shia LaBeouf's head getting smashed in with a tire iron by a disgruntled albino cinephile upset with how he ruined the Indiana Jones franchise. Paula Abdul's cold-hearted snake is on the jukebox. A flash mob appears and dances an elaborately choreographed routine, then flashes us their descended nipples and hairy assholes. Two nuns strip and suck off a donkey. My first girlfriend calls me to tell me she was pissing on the side of 95 while on her way to Florida and thought of me. The TV tells us that Lulu Dobbs' John Stewart sex tape is the next Two Girls, One Cup. Malcolm Jamal Warner in a Cosby sweater is masturbating with barbed wire while licking his lips and looking at my feet. I settle my bill and drive home, hoping to fuck my wife, but she's already finished herself off with a breast cancer-paying chainsaw.
My goodness.
Oh.
Oh my. Was that Lou Dobbs, John Stewart?
Yes, that was.
And I guess you'd have to really know, you'd have to really experience the Two Girls, One Cup phenomena for yourself to really appreciate Lou Dobbs in that scenario.
Yeah, anything, any
oh
scenario
goodness.
That I can put Lou Dobbs in that would humiliate him in any way, I'm going to try and do that.
You think? Well,
yeah.
he's,
hope,
I mean,
hope for.
What is he doing now? I mean, is that what he's moved on to? I mean, he's, you know, do you think he's on the YouTube circuit doing, you know, experimental film?
I can only hope that everything that he touches fails and he has to resort to cheap thrills like that.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, if I had a choice, I'd have to say that I'd probably prefer to see Jon Stewart doing with a cup. But, you know, I'm just saying, just putting that out there. But, no, that's cool. Thanks for calling in. Did you want to do another one? Or, you know, I know you're quite prolific. You've got a lot of material.
I'll if it lags at the end, I'll call back. But right now, I'll let everyone else read.
All right. Well, that's cool. That's cool. And thank you. It's always good to hear from people that we haven't heard from before. And, you know, that's cool. So thank you very much for calling
and
sharing.
Hey, Scott.
Hey.
Greg, Scott.
Later.
Greg, Scott. Yeah. See, we have New Jersey represented here. See,
your East Coasters aren't coming out.
I know. They're representing. Well, you know, I have family in New Jersey, and, you know, everyone in New York has family in New Jersey. It's like the other borough, so, yeah.
Okay.
That's cool.
I've been to Jersey once. And the fastest I've ever run out of a place before. So,
you've been everywhere, I think. I really think you've been everywhere. And you know what? You know, I think sometimes you end up in places you don't even plan to end up in. I mean, I think that's what happened over the summer. You know, you just sort of ended up in Baltimore.
Oh, God. You had to say it.
The memories, right? Right. And speaking of that incident, the incident of the Detroit airport fiasco of 2010, which was it was a fiasco on so many different levels that impacted so many different people, and you know, I think I'll never stop apologizing for that whole situation. But speaking of that fiasco, I'm going to go ahead and see if this is Paul Corman Roberts because it's never really a blog talk radio party until we bring on either Paul or, you know, the Cackle Jackal. But, you know, this better be Paul. Either that or it's somebody living next door, you know.
Hello, Paul.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Can.
It's either Paul or the ghost of Allen Ginsberg. I'm not sure which.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm sorry, I would have called in earlier, but I my phone has been acting like a dick, man. Ugh, I apologize.
And what behaviors is your phone displaying that's making you liken it to that particular anatomical part, Paul?
It's been not powering up when I needed to.
Oh, so you need Viagra for the phone.
It does. I don't know what's wrong with it. Like, it was just dying on me. In fact, I should give you a fair warning. It could die at any second now. I shut it off for a long time, and I'm at the retard show, and I'm like, okay, I got it. And then they got to a break. Okay, well, hopefully this isn't juiced up enough, and I got outside, and yes, I was able to get through. I can't even believe it.
Oh, my goodness.
You're here, sir.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I just read my missing penis story with an actual dildo for a prop. I think it went over quite well. I'm sorry.
Were you over at the venue that we talked about that you were, you know?
Yeah, the Episcopal Church. Mm. Yeah, that's exactly where.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
No, that, you know. That really, that whole idea just appealed to me so much when I saw it. I mean, I was like, yeah, that sounds like exactly like something that Paul would do. You know,
it's a really good show. We've had a violinist. We've had a woman put on a play with, you know, using a mop and a broom as characters. She had them all dressed up in coats and silly glasses and stuff, and was doing their lines while she was doing lines. This is good stuff. This is good stuff. And there's like 10 people here for the whole thing. This is what it's about right here.
Nice.
Yeah, no, I totally wanna head out there. Do you know who is actually just among us? I don't know if you remember Steve of special boxer short fame.
You know, I see that going, man.
I haven't. I mean, I don't know. I know he's in the chat, but I'm hoping that we can pick him up and that he'll read something. And I hope he's doing it in his extra fancy boxer shorts, because, you know, like I said, we were thinking of having a little bit of a dress requirement, but, you know, there's no way to enforce that without video. And at this point, we haven't really gotten into that territory yet. So,
well, trust me,
I find it interesting that you would want to enforce it.
I'm enforcing it, sir. I've got the AR-15 still, so I'm enforcing it.
Right. And I'm actually picking up 434. What I'm doing is sort of, you know, warning people before they're live. So if they're having a conversation, like with their spouse, or they're at a bar somewhere, you know, they just so you know, 434 is actually on the air live with our Project U Radio open mic show. Welcome.
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
What's
going on?
Cornelius, what's up? What up?
What the fuck is popping off?
Everything's popping off, son.
How you doing?
We're good, man. Wait. I know that you're good. You're in. You're probably drunk at this point. Am I correct, sir?
I am very. Yes, this is an accurate predicament. Yep, I'm drunk. I'm in my garage. I'm standing behind my Jeep that no longer works, and I'm looking at houses outside my window that I just saw for the first time because they weren't there last time I was out here doing this shit.
I can actually hear you looking out the window, like right now. I can hear you looking out the window.
Sir. Yeah, I'm looking out there, man. I'm watching them motherfuckers.
Oh, yeah.
And
what do you mean you can hear it? Like he's licking the glass?
Yeah, I could hear his voice reverberating from the glass onto the phone. And I could hear the power in Mr. Cornelius Bent's voice just shattering the glass as he speaks. It's pretty amazing.
The neighbors have now started to step outside and look around and go, what the fuck?
You know, it would be really cool if they were, like, outside and you were, like, in the window with the light on and they were, like, standing there observing you while you're talking to us, you know, sort of like an exhibit, you know, like if you, you know, like you're on a... like on a stage, you know? I think that'd be cool.
It happens a lot, but it usually revolves around me pissing in my yard.
Yeah.
That's when usually the observations happen and the exhibit kind of things happen.
That's when
I'm pissing in my yard.
Made, sir. That's a poem right there, when you pee in the yard in front of your neighbors. Poem.
Oh, yeah.
Well, who hasn't done that, though? I mean, right, right. And, you know, whenever you can. Right.
Exactly.
We know Frankie Metro does that any chance he gets.
I pee
and
everywhere.
I pee everywhere.
Yes. That too, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that Paul, you know, sort of sees it as a sport to go in as many places as possible. You know, kind of like, I don't want to say like a dog, but, you know, sort of spreading his, you know,
arms
around.
Oh, yeah. I've got a 115-pound Rottweiler, and he and I are in a perpetual competition to see who can pick in the most spots.
Nice.
I just try to leave whatever taint I possibly can. Sometimes it's pee, sometimes it's other things, you know.
Oh, no. With Lou Dobbs, right? No.
Yeah.
I try to leave Lou Dobbs everywhere I go, yes.
You know, how many people have their, you know, are just the idea of Lou Dobbs and doing a two girls and a cup scenario? How many people are just kind of like nauseous from that idea? No, you know, nothing against Lou Dobbs. I mean, you know, he's cool. Well,
I have a lot against him. If you throw two girls and a cup into that equation, it gets messy for everybody. So
yeah,
we're all pissing on everything.
But I would like to know Cornelius Bent. I would like to know why there's no snow tree this year. Why we're not, you know, what happened there?
I don't know, man. I just show up for the shit. I don't know about the organization and none of that. But because, you know, I'll show up and fucking sleep in that bitch for 3 days.
He will.
Well, yeah, remember? I mean, we, like, ended up sleeping under tables, and, I mean, gosh, that was a marathon for a while
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I woke up one morning. I woke up on stage, so, and it was a 24-hour thing. So when I opened my eyes, you know, you're all fucked up in the morning. You're drooling on yourself, especially when you drink like I do. You know, you ain't presentable. And I rose my head up. And I looked out, and there's, like, fucking 20 people sitting on chairs looking at me.
Right.
That was
awesome. That was cool, though. I mean, I remember my legs sticking out from under, like, that table where there were refreshments and things. And
yeah.
I remember peeking out and seeing that guy dressed like Santa Claus, and I was like, oh, my God, am I hallucinating? It was like... It was so trippy. Yeah. That was something, Snowetry. Oh, my gosh.
The best part of that whole thing for me was when Grover, Mike Grover, drove out. And then, because it snowed like a motherfucker, man.
Yeah.
And it was like,
yeah.
And Grover drove out, and he didn't want to drive out. And I was like, motherfucker, bring your ass. And he drove out. And when, by the time they got there, them dudes were a wreck. Because they had just driven like 3 hours and like, snow blind snow, you know how that is driving and then when it was his turn to read, he started to read from his seat. He started reading from his chair, then he got up and he read all the way up to the stage, then he turned around to the mic and it ripped our fucking faces off. So I mean, right there, that was worth my fucking whatever 9-10 hour drive. It was great.
Yeah, he kind of came with the Toledo posse that night. Yeah, I mean, I drove in the snow too. I mean, I came pretty far too, and yeah, that was terrible weather, but you know, it worked out. It was cool. You know, it was a good thing. I just, you know, I thought they were going to do it again this year, and I guess not, because it's, you know, it'll be too warm out for snow. Snow a tree, so pretty soon. So, yeah. Well, so what are you going to do for us? So you're going to sing? Are you going to read something?
I'm going to read a poem. Yeah, I'm going to read a poem called Faith.
All right, cool.
All right. Plated in flesh are these bones, catacombs carved by pious waters, landscapes of self, broad as the Pacific, pure as sunshine, threatening the hemorrhage in every moment, contained only by proper baptisms in the searing fluids of what is true. The same truth I know the breeze to be, the nexus of human animals, the flowing umbilical, the modest fusion of what sparks just beneath our skulls. I have inhaled what you have exhaled. It is carried to me in breeze, no matter where you stand on the skin of the sphere, and draw your breath and empty your chest. In this, I lay in whole the body of my faith. And that's that with that motherfucker.
Right. Thank you. That's
bravo.
Bravo.
Bravo. Dope, sir.
You know, even you know, in the throes of intoxication, I mean, you're really a natural reader. I mean, you really do, you know, a really good job. I mean, it's hard to believe. You get in the zone, you know, drinking or not, you get in the zone, you know. And,
well, drinking is important.
Well, but some people can't do that. Some people, you know, they stumble around and they don't know what they're reading. I mean, they're reading the back of menus, you know, they don't know where they are. So, no, that's cool.
You know, for what it's worth, when I first called in, you know what, how beautiful this thing is, and you mentioned it earlier, whatever the fuck, yada, 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 I'm on my soapbox, but man, there's not much truth out here on this fucking planet, especially in this country and how we communicate with each other, because we really don't communicate with each other, and it's this kind of fucking thing, man, is the only time we really fucking get to know each other. We really knock down the walls, and it's poetry. God damn it, you know, man, if there was more of this, there'd be less of that fucking shooting guns at each other, you know what I'm saying? So when I write something down, I believe it, and like that first dude, I don't remember his name, but he was from California.
Right, Daria, yeah.
Yeah, I fell in love with poetry all over again because I know it's the truth, I know it's the way, and I know it's how we can fucking end the bullshit. So whatever, man, I'm going to shut the fuck up, but I always do that.
Thanks,
no,
man.
I think like I said, it's something, it's different when you actually hear somebody read their work, you know, as opposed to just reading it or kind of knowing them as, you know, like an internet person, a persona. I mean, I think it's just such a different experience when people actually read. That's why I like doing it, you know, it's a cool thing. So, okay, well,
so,
I guess I'm going to.
Where's Brian?
Where's Brian? Where the hell is Brian? That's a good question.
Yeah, we advertised the show just for him, didn't we?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, we did.
How's his dad doing?
Did we?
That's what I really want to know.
Oh, well. Dope.
Nobody knows?
Well, how his dad is doing.
His dad passed away last year.
Yeah, I think that actually at Snowtree we were talking about it. That's probably why you're, you know, thinking about him. Yeah, he was.
It wasn't too long after that.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
I know there's rumors about it.
Yeah, it's sad. I mean, he was very, very close to his dad, and, you know, I think. You know, I think it's one of those things, you know, you don't really get over it, you know, and...
No, you don't.
Yeah.
But can I read one for him, because I've experienced the same thing?
Right, I mean, I know it's hard for him.
Can I read one for Brian's dad?
Yeah, no, you go ahead. Go ahead. We're freewheeling, you know.
All right, it's called baptism. Atrocities drag themselves across my ears, bleeding from the talking box, programmed with agendas, codes of illegitimacies written against nature. Summer is creeping in slow, the caress before the blaze. Gives me time to inhale each wave of transition, inciting my innate deviance to unnatural compliance, level by level, the first sweat of a yet clean body. I've shaken the darkness from my head. Its pieces are piled 30 years deep in a barrel where my grief was laid months ago. I will burn them both when the moon is positioned to receive the ash. My father still speaks to me through the insects he always told me to care for, through the woodland he taught me to listen to, through the breeze he said I should touch with my lungs, through the perpetual baptisms he knew each moment to be. And in this moment finds my form beyond biological existence. I am alive, and I am well. And we're for the fuck that's worth.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I think he would appreciate the shout out too. I mean, you should get in touch with him. I mean, I don't know if he'll end up calling in or not. You know, he's kind of like that, but you know, he's unpredictable, the cackle jackal. But
he's a good motherfucker, man. I take the world to that dude.
You know, you should say hello. I mean, you know, he's online a lot, that's for sure. So you should hunt him down and, you know, tell him you're, you know, it's cool to t- tell people you're thinking about them. You know, I think that's a cool thing to do. You know, some people don't like that. They're not, touchy feely sentimental people. But I think Brian is pretty touchy feely. Have to say.
I'd just like to say that.
Shower in the hotel room. You did object to that.
Oh wow. I was just going to say that I wanted to let Cornelius Bennett know that I'm thinking about him, but now after he says that, I'm not thinking about you anymore, bro. Sorry.
You'll think about that shit tomorrow.
Yeah, I know it. When I wake up.
Oh, my goodness. Let's see. I guess I will keep on going down the call queue, if
you
don't mind.
On the queue, by the way, it's gotta throw that out there.
What was that, Frankie?
Lindsay Thomas, she's on the queue.
Is she? Because you said 505, and there's no, it's like, I have a 502. I'm putting 502 through now.
Oh,
but
okay.
I don't have a 505. I don't know what the hell is going on here. Like I said, I have 502. So this might be Lindsay. This might not be. We really don't know because I'm looking for 505, and I was looking for what was that? I don't know. I apologize because then I thought it was 310.
Don't apologize. She's running late. Don't apologize to her. She's running late tonight. Lindsay, you're running late. You're running late. Late for work. Sorry.
She's looking for her special pajamas, I think.
I think so. Yeah.
All right. Well, I have 502 picked up, so I don't know.
Hello?
Whoever 502 is, you can just jump on in and say hello.
Hey, Len, this is John Swain calling from the 502.
That's
not Lindsay.
You're not Lindsay.
No, this is not Lindsay. I'm sorry.
Oh.
You know what, John, are you wearing, like, those footed, like, what do you call the pajamas with feet?
What am I wearing?
Yes,
yeah,
so I would like you to describe
well, I
your...
I didn't know there was, like, a special pajama party going on.
Better believe it.
He's in a V-neck. T-shirt, just for everyone out there to know.
I would like to know. Yeah, I would. I think everybody wants to know. Like I said, I'm actually wearing flannel pajama. The really lame plaid kind of thing, because that's the way I roll on a Friday night.
Classy.
That sounds so comfy.
Very classy. Very classy. She has classy pajamas. Don't hate on her pajamas. Those are fine.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my gosh, and I have my work calling me up at 12 o'clock at night. Sorry about that.
What?
Anyway, so John.
Hey.
What are we going to do? Are you packing for Chicago, sir? Because we
I know,
are.
That's going to be fun. I love Chicago. We got to figure out, like, what the point. So what is Tim Murray, he's written a play, he's in a play, what is the deal with that?
Well, he has a role in a play.
Is he an actor or whatever?
Well, he's an actor, yes he is. He's in a play, I believe.
Capital A acting?
Yes.
He's a clown,
capital A
is what
acting.
He is.
I believe it's called Sorted Lives. I think it's called Sorted Lives, and I believe it's a play that is sort of a satire, like, it's sort of a humorous take on, I don't want to say on white trash, but I believe the premise is that it's sort of making fun of maybe small town mindedness a little bit. I believe there's a death, and then there's a bunch of drama ensues, and I'm not sure exactly what role Tim is playing, but I believe it's a humorous story, and I think the plan is that we're going to show up in our posse of freaks. Yeah, basically, see, the thing is, John, and you need to be in on the plan, is that he thinks that we're going there to be, like, supportive because, you know, we're his friends and, you know, we're going to go there and be supportive, you know, and maybe bring him some carnations. That's not what we're doing. We're going there to totally humiliate the fuck out of the poor guy. We're going to show up. I mean, I'm going to be like, yeah, I'm going to, like, maybe I'll bring, like, my Marie Antoinette wig or one of my, you know, I don't know, my Catwoman suit. I haven't figured out exactly what we're going to do.
I'm going to bring a violent case of roses for the guy, you know. I think he's going to, you know, wrench every drop of human emotion from the role, and I think we'll all be changed.
Oh, my goodness. But I don't know. I think that we can think of ways to, you know, humiliate him.
Oh.
I think so.
Well,
yeah,
I was also going to say, too, on a different side, it was cool to hear Kevin call in. He was too modest to say so, but I wanted to let the listeners and everything know that he's got a book coming out that's really great. It's called Burn Through Today, and he didn't say anything about it, but I had a chance to read it, and I hope everybody buys this book when it comes out. It's really awesome.
Cool. And you have, I mean, gosh, and you're the prolific guy these days with your stuff. Well, I mean, every time I turn around, you have something out now. I mean, you know, it's like, do you like keep boxes of stuff under the bed and just pull them out one by one? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, it's just like, you know, piles and piles, and most of it's gone now. So now I'm on my own now. I used to, you know, it's a crutch, you know, just having everything, but no, it's not like that, but, you know, I try to keep busy, that's all, you know, because then if you don't, you know, idle hands, you know, if you don't keep busy, then, you know, bad things will happen to you.
What kind of bad things?
I don't know, incarceration, institutionalization.
That boy is talking about masturbating, everybody knows that.
Right, you know.
Yeah.
You keeps me from living life. I know you.
Hey, man, I heard you loud and clear. I get you. We're right here.
Thank you, brother. Yeah. You know. Yeah. There's no pretense.
Nope. I knew what you was talking about. Yeah.
Well, I mean, is that? I mean, even if it is true, is that so wrong?
No.
Maybe. No. Hell no. Look who you're talking to. Oh my God.
That's not God made calluses. You know. Right.
I know, just a new life. Every time you peel that back, you know, it's just, you know, that's what poetry is, right? New feelings, new experiences.
You don't went too far with it now, man.
It's Lou Dobbs in a cup, and...
Who is, I heard y'all talk about that. Who is this Lou Dobbs? Is he a poet?
Lou Dobbs was like an anchor guy on CNN. He did this show, but he went on this, like, you know what I don't like about him? He went on this like 2-year rant about immigration and just anti, you know, he just kind of went off on this thing, and every night he would sort of do these shows, and he became kind of obsessed with the immigration issue and being against,
right,
basically being...
Is he an Indian, right? Is he a Native American?
Lou Dobbs? No, Lou Dobbs kind of looks a little bit like...
So.
Kind of cherubic, I would kind of like, you know, I don't
no,
know,
yeah,
like,
I'm kidding.
Like if you like really
he's
took a
he's
leprechaun
angry.
And you fed
he's
him,
angry man.
Yeah, an angry white man, resentful and getting on a soapbox about immigration like night after night after night. And finally, after a while, I was like,
sure.
You know what, Lou Dobbs, you need to like, yeah, move on to something else. But yeah, he was on CNN for a while, and you know. So that's the, I don't know.
So,
and I don't know.
He obviously, knows what he's talking about. He's on CNN. He must be, you know, he must.
Oh, because everybody,
you know,
on
higher vantage point, right?
Well, you know, if he was real
dear.
Quality, he'd be on Fox, because that's, you know, that's like the mark
he,
of.
Did you invite him to Chicago? I mean, if he hung out with us, maybe, you know, he might, you know, I don't know. Maybe he'd finally understand things.
Well, you know what? I think that possibly Tim Murray's performance might persuade him to be. Yeah, it might
yeah,
totally change his head.
So are y'all like friends on Facebook or something?
What, with Lou Dobbs?
June Lou, yeah. I was thinking invite him, you know, hang out with us.
You know, I will do that. I will try. I actually kind of do hang out with big shots from CNN. You know, I do. I just don't talk about it, you know, because I don't want to brag. But, yeah,
that whole video with him and John Stewart,
I directed it. Yeah.
Nice. So, nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you got friends in high place. So that's right.
Yeah. And do you, you know... You know, I want you to read something before we run out of time because we only have a couple minutes, and here I am talking about Lou Dobbs, and I would like to hear some John Swain. So.
All right. Yeah, I got a new poem here called Discordance. Discordance at the pier blurs a tending of signs. Back against the glasses, served until the close, as the road sunk under the bridge in fronting. I never claimed to host aggravations of months, and yet I always returned to the place I never left. Nicotine stained the tub after twin bed comfort. The moon slept on sand to extend the ditch. I tripped in convolution.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool, John. I always love your stuff. I do. I'm
thank you.
I don't hold back from saying that. I always say, you know what, if I had to, like, pick, you know, like a handful of guys, poet guys, and, you know, just, like, have to, you know, be on an island or something, you know, you're like, in that handful, you know what I mean?
Oh, man's like, trying to sneak you away to a private island.
Yeah, we do all right on the island. I was just at an island, and you know, I was reading about a guy there who would back in the 50s and 60s, he would like row out to this island, and he would like strap himself to the trees, like when the hurricanes would come, and everything. And, yeah, it wouldn't be so bad to be on an island, I don't think.
I smell love in the air.
Okay, well, you know what? much as I love John, I'm going to hurry up and pick up poor 773, and I don't mean to cut you off. You stay here with us, because I feel bad, because we're going to actually, well, we have archives, we're good, but, you know, but yeah,
yeah,
I'm picking up 773,
it's great, great
so.
To talk to y'all. Thank
all
you
just,
for having me on.
No, thank you.
Good night, y'all.
Good night. I picked up 773, and I apologize for this. It's a bit of a madhouse. Are you there still?
Yeah, I am.
I'm sorry about that. I for some reason I actually thought that. Anyway, I'll stop. I'll let you. I hope you. I'm sorry to rush you. We do go into archives, so you can keep going. But I know we're toward the end. But you know, were you interested in reading something, telling us who you are, a little bit about you, anything you want?
What's up, Frankie? It's Amanda.
Oh, hey, what's up, Amanda? It's Amanda Barnes. Hello.
Yeah, that would be me. It's cool. I actually was. Not really sure if I was even going to read anything tonight, but I just definitely wanted to catch the show. So, you know, got to support. That's all.
Word.
Well, we appreciate it. Thank you. And it's nice to have a female call in. I don't mean to be sexist, but it is. It really is.
Oh,
it does.
Man, you're always being sexist over there.
I know. You know what? I should just stop saying that I don't mean to be sexist and just say, yeah, I am. Yeah,
yeah,
I am, and I do mean to be, because I'm a jerk. But
admit it.
No, I'm sorry. So, Amanda, you could read or not read. I mean, I don't want you to be, like, freaked out because it's going to go into archives, because it'll still keep recording, and we're good, but, you know. And so, yeah.
No,
yes.
It's cool. You know what? Since I'm on, I will read a piece. It's actually an older one. And I was going to read something different, but the mood of the show is kind of dark. So I think I will keep with that theme.
Cool.
And go with it. I'm not sure if I've ever read this one before. It's older, like I said. It's called Abortion on the Brink. when I abort our baby, don't say I didn't warn you. When they hollow me like sour cherries gutting away flesh created by sin that I swallowed whole, don't curse me. I'd never bear hell's seed unless the promised revelation of Armageddon's union rang true. The end of the world will come when I sign the waiver, flat on my back in stirrups, praying for the pain of metal instrumentation cold and sterile, only to shed a tear of laughter and wipe it away as though 3 weeks have passed and I'm late with revenge. When I lie frozen in the blinding light of uterine spasms and filth, I'll hear the protesters shouting outside the clinic, I plan to desecrate parenthood, remembering your silent screams in my ear at night, needing wanted, driven by testosterone's velocity slumbers. Between my warmth, remember the lingering weakness of cool inferno's blue, lustful sobs in the dreams of suffocating will I'll never have because you killed our baby long before the makeup was formed. Long before its eyes, color, and its dexterity were formed. You did this. I told you to love with the delicacy of acidic exponentials I know to be you. But instead, impregnated chromosomal reservations fit for a pussy is what you gave. And since you didn't listen like I warned, here I am, spewing, loathing, past regressions, bloody vacuum sucked emotion-laden letters of the estrogen. The estrogen drives me to the clinic. And he...
Ooh, ooh. Whoa. Oh, man.
Wow. That's heavy. That, goddamn.
Yeah, it is. That is heavy. It's sad. It's like, you know, when you hear, you know, sometimes you have to kind of like sit with it a couple, you know, a couple seconds before you say something about it, you know, and I don't mean to be rude when I do that. It's just, you know, you get kind of to thinking and then, you know, so.
It took a lot of guts to read that poem, man. And,
yeah.
And so yeah. I give kudos for that. Like, not everybody's willing to share that much of themselves in a poem. And I give you definite props for that.
I don't, you know, I'm not really sure where that came from. I think I was just mad about something. And for the record, I've never had an abortion. I know people read that and they're like, huh? Like, I'm not against people who have, but just people are like, you made that up? But yeah, it's totally made up. But I was just pissed, so it just kind of came out like that.
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's, I mean, you know, we can't always assume that everything, you know, in a poem is, you know, biographical or, you know, but I mean, but certainly it's, you know, it's something that, I mean, you know, I don't mean just women think about, but, you know, it's, you know, whether you've had one or thought of having one or know people that have or, you know, it's just a lot of, but, you know, there's just a lot of pain in there. You know, aside from that, it's a very sad piece you did there.
Well, thank you.
No, that's straight up. I think that's a good analysis of it. It really was like you were able to, in all honesty, you were able to make me feel like what it's like to have an abortion or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, God, that was just hard. It's just really hard for those kind of poems for anybody to give feedback on them. And it's not like an insult, definitely, but it's like so much that you could put out there for yourself. And I think it's one of those poems that, like, I always tell people, like, don't try to look for the meaning in poems or anything like that. But that definitely has a meaning. And sometimes it's just one of those things that has to set in, like, for real. I'm going to be thinking about that one. That's a heavy poem, real heavy.
No, and I appreciate it.
Well, it's cool. Hopefully you guys liked it. And, you know, I'm always willing to share. Oh, yeah.
Are we doing this thing again next week, Lynn? Or
actually, next I think we're gonna do it again next month and have it like a monthly thing, like a monthly open mic. I mean, I wasn't sure how it would go over, and you know, I'm still, you know, I'm still getting
like
used
it.
To this whole. Yeah, I mean, I do too. Next week, what I was hoping to do, and I was talking to J.D. Nelson about doing experimental poetry and having him call in and maybe read some of his stuff. I mean, you know, and certainly people can call in. I mean, people can call in to any of the shows. I mean, you know, I hope we make that clear when we, you know, when we, you know, make the announcements and we spread the word about them that, you know, I think callers is really the point. I mean, nobody wants to hear, you know, nobody wants to hear me talk for an hour. You know, I mean, the whole thing is the connection. So
definitely connection.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I think that we could definitely have, you know, calls on all the shows really, but, you know, I think that, at least maybe once a month we should try to do, I think an open mic. I think it's a good mm-hmm. idea. You know,
well,
we could also
you mentioned that we could do that on all the shows. We should put that out there that, you know,
yeah.
callers are more than welcome to call into the Draconian Vampire Tunnel and read. You're more than welcome to call in to any Project U radio shows. Literally underground
right.
about you guys. That's the key word here is you. And
right.
about you guys. That's what that's why we're doing this. We're definitely not doing it for the money. So.
Right. Cool. And the you know, and it's open. I mean, a lot of people, you know, I mean, we're not, I think that I can speak for everyone in saying that, you know, we're not really click people. We're not really, you know, we're not people that just stick to our own circles and things. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's cool when people call up that have never called in before, especially. So, yeah, I mean, and I think we can do open mics in addition to these topic shows that we do for Project U Radio. I mean, we could do the topics and we can certainly schedule them some other time and, you know, whatever anyone wants to do. I mean, you know, it's all good. That's the thing is it's sort of fluid and, you know, evolved. So we'll see how it goes. And I guess we're pretty much at the end for tonight. I mean, I know we've gone over the hour and we're...
Do we have
any more...
We don't have any more callers or anything?
No, we're done. Okay. I mean, I do feel bad that Amanda had to, you know, and she was on hold for a while, and I hate doing that. It's kind of the nature of the beast with this queue system. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lynn.
No, I was just going to say that I always forget to mention the website where we put the shows. I always say, you know what, I'm going to mention that right at the beginning, and then I don't. So that's www.theliteraryunderground.org, but it's /Project U Radio. So basically you could just do a search for Literary Underground and, you know, you could find it. Google it, whatever. But, you know, just so people know that we do have a page set up to kind of, you know, put this information on there.
Well, I tell you what, Lynn, can I actually, I had like two poems. Can I read two poems before we close
the show? Absolutely, sir. I'm sorry. I don't mean to neglect
no,
you.
No,
I, you
no,
know,
no,
you
no.
know, I didn't even... You know, that's cool. You know, we're freewheeling. So yeah,
right.
I think that would be great. I love when you read stuff.
All right, I've got this first one, and it's kind of untitled, but here it goes.
Lady in a pink skirt with your cat at the beach. Your cat on a leash don't want no bath in the ladies' room at the lifeguard station. The filth in here is usually alarming, but today there's ample toilet paper in the stalls because it's early in the morning and all the street people ain't washed up with all that pink hand soap in the dispenser yet. Lady, with your cat on the leash, with your chunky ass in a yellow sunset bikini. I ain't trying to hear no corn song right now. Put your pink skirt back on and quit trying to sing it to me silently. Looks like someone shit on the wall in there. Lifeguards go in there and throw cat litter where it dribbled down. I feel like Dexter examining the splatters. Someone left a question. Does it take a concentrated effort to shit on the wall?
That's the first poem.
Right. Frankie, you seem to have morphed your voice a little bit.
You like that, did you? You like that effect?
It's a pretty amazing effect you have going on there.
Oh, thank you. It's sort of, I feel like T-Pain at the moment, you know? They like T-Pain. This next poem, I actually saw this written on a picnic table here in Albuquerque, and I decided to write a poem using what they scribbled into the table. And the title of it is, Fuck Whoever Reads This. Fuck whoever reads this. Every white girl who sets foot on gravel, every Navajo at the meat counter, you almost broke your neck when you stepped into the freezer. Every hard-nosed black Caucasian sitting foot on the 66 and not setting back in the back with the hard fuckers on their way to Coors and Central. Every piece of shit in the war zone. Yeah, San Mateo is shifty, but familiar. And you don't scare me, I just know not to turn my back on you and lose sight in the peripheral view. Every ounce of old town with plastic Zias and Zuni house craft works. Every time you say teal and really mean turquoise. Every inch of green chili vomit that flies out of your nose. And you thought it was a mild burn at first and then realized milk was too expensive. You bought a one-day, one-way pass when you should have got a full day. And you taxed yourself out before you opened your eyes. You counted one too many blessings. Every one you mistook as a mistake, every white girl, every Navajo at the meat counter, every hard-nosed pussy black Caucasian, every piece of the war zone, every saint on this fucking mountain, every pulse in this plastic stucco valley, every time, every inch. You can take notes if you feel the need, but fuck whoever reads this.
Oh, you rock. You really, I love what you do. I really do. I have to say. I mean... I like that. No, that's cool. I mean, and you know what, like I said, you just, you know, I always say this, you have just a radio voice, just a voice that's meant to, like, read things, you know. I mean, it could be anything. You could, like, stand there and, you know, read the phone book, whatever, you know.
Well,
it'd be cool.
That would explain my many semi-careers in telemarketing, I guess, my successful careers in telemarketing.
Right. I could see that with you. I could definitely see that because you have a friendliness. You know, you're firm and you're forceful and you know. But yet there's like a friendly quality to it. You know, that says I'm a bastard, but trust me. You know.
I think that's exactly. I'm a bastard, but you can trust me.
But you're a good guy, you know, kind of like that. That's the vibe I always get, you know. Like,
you haven't
known
me long enough, Lynn Alexander. I'll ruin that opinion sooner or later. So, no.
I will say that.
Like, and
I will never believe that.
Well, I really appreciate you saying that, Lynn. And to be honest with you, I really appreciate what you do for the Literary Underground. And I appreciate what Paul does, and I appreciate every person that called in tonight and shared their work, because that meant a lot to me personally to have all these people come out for the ground and show some support. That was really dope.
Yeah, no, it's cool. And it's cool to people in the chat, too. You know, there's also, I should have mentioned that, you know, we also have the chat, the live chat going on during the show, which is sort of hard for me to listen to the work and you know, be attentive to the chat, too. So I was sort of neglecting it. But, we have people in there, too, that didn't necessarily call in, but, you know, so that's cool. So we appreciate them, too. And
they were really cool. Actually, I did want to give a big shout-out before we go to Mr. Doc Sigerson, who was chilling in the chat
room.
I really dig that guy a lot. So big shout-out to Doc.
And Steve and everybody. You know, that's cool. It's nice to see. And it's nice to get together with people in this kind of way. You know, like I say, technology makes it possible to do this stuff, you know, these antics.
You know what, Lynn, it's been a while since we had a show, an open mic show that was really worth the shit. I'm sorry to say that, but it's been a while. And I think I like where this track is going. I like it a lot.
I like it. I like, you know, I think, and there's diversity too. I mean, I think that's also another thing, is that there's all different kinds of you know, readers, you know, and different kinds of work. And you know, and I always say that I would like to see a couple more of the females, and maybe that some of that is really on me, that maybe I should be reaching out more and, you know, maybe making a point of saying, you know what, hey, why don't you read? Maybe we don't do enough of that, you know, sister to sister, you know, maybe that's something to think about. So, you know, I'd like to see more of that.
There you go, being sexist again. There you go.
There I go, and I'm not even going to apologize for it. I'm going to say yes.
Oh.
Hell's yes, I am sexist, and I do enjoy, you know, I do like, you know, seeing women represented and seeing us out there, and, you know, I don't mean for that to be my big tick, but, you know, it does my heart good to see it. You know, I want to see more of it. You know, we need to be encouraging one another, you know, so.
Let's up the estrogen level in the literary underground. Let's up
That's
it up.
Right. So, okay. I guess we're going to wrap it up for this evening. I'm going to, you know, hang up, and I guess we will do this again next week. Like I said, I believe J.D. Nelson, I've done my best to rope him into coming on and, you know, reading some things and doing the stuff that he does. But also, you know, a little bit of discussion about experimental poetry, because there's a lot of, you know, controversy, you know, whether it counts, whether it's good, whether it's innovative, whether it's terrible, you know, all of that stuff, you know, comes out in these discussions. So that's what I want to kind of prod the experimental beast a little bit next week. So
nice.
if you're game, then I will see you. And
see you
thank you. Thank you. And thank you, everyone. And that's it for us. Good night.